Hey, morena, kids be here, kwe. How you doing? Kids pie. Nginge.
You need more sleep, brother.
Nginge. Nginge is like tired. Yeah, I'm down. Kitsi Harikoa. Aho, I'm excited. Hey, I'm always excited about church, so it's good. I'm super nginge. Here moe, I'm tired, but man, I'm excited about church. Buenos dias, gracias, Fernanda. That was such good reading. I just trusted that you were actually reading Psalm 33. I was like, I have no idea, but it sounded cool. I heard El Señor, and there was a few words. I was like, ooh, that's cool. Thanks for reading that. Just a weird thing, I was thinking while Fernanda was reading it, heaps of us are like, I got no idea. And I was thinking that's exactly what it's like for a lot of our Spanish speakers when they come. They sit, and until Victoria does the translation, and you see them often with the headphones on, it's the same thing for them. They're like, I got no idea what's going on. So it was good for us to feel that. So gracias. So good. Hey, so we're in Psalm 33 this morning. This is the last psalm we're looking at in this kind of psalm series that we've been doing. And I know we kind of just like picked a few psalms, right? So I think we've done six or seven. I think we did seven psalms. So I'm sure we're going to come back at some point and do more psalms. The next series we're doing, I'm super excited about. It's going to be on Joseph, so the life of Joseph from the Old Testament. And to me, Joseph is just one of the funniest stories in the whole Bible. He starts out like quite a jerk, so be here next Sunday, because he's a bit of a like arrogant jerk, to be honest, with his styling coat and his cool dreams and telling his dad, you're going to bow to me. And I'm like, man, if he was my son back in the day, he would have had a whoopsh, which you can't do now, but back then he could have. And then everything just turns to custard, right? So he's from the super rich family. Next minute, he's like in the bottom of a muddy well. Next minute, he's a slave, which would have been horrible. It would have been pierced ear or nose, drag chain behind a camel. It would have been hideous. And then he's in a junk jail, and it's just unbelievable. But the thing with Joseph is his faith in God just stays so strong. And God gives him these promises. And then for, 20 years, 30 years, I don't know, it just all turns to custard, but he keeps trusting God. So things are pretty crazy on the planet at the moment, so I think it's going to be cool to look at the story of Joseph. I think we're going to do like 7 or 8 weeks and just see how did this guy in the midst of just blah keep his faith in God. So that's kind of where we're going. So looking at the story of Joseph, I'm super excited to kind of get into that one. It'll be cool. Hey, so that's next week. So thanks, Bree. Where did Bree go? She's been raptured up with the kids. What a servant. So yeah, shot Bree and shot Fernanda for reading. Hey, it was cool. I love this psalm. So really wanting to get into unpacking it. The kind of big question that I want to talk about in it is why praise God, right? So why praise God? And straight away, heaps of you have got reasons in your head of why you should praise God, but some of you will be like, yeah, why praise God, man? Feels like the planet is totally falling apart at the moment. We've got riots, stuff, crazy stuff in Europe. COVID's hitting South America and parts of Africa now, where it's just, like in Brazil, just devastating. So just feels like the world's spinning out of control. And I kind of want to go down a little bit of a slant with it. And this is kind of what I want to look at. I need to do my proper clicking, sorry. Is it okay to praise God knowing this will change me more than it will benefit God? So is it okay to praise God knowing this will change me more than it will benefit God? So I've talked about this a little bit in the past, but what I'm meaning is that we've got to remember God never changes, right? That makes sense? God never changes? Cool. So when I praise God, when I worship God, it doesn't change him. He loves my worship. He enjoys my worship, right? He enjoys my praise. So it doesn't change him. But whenever I praise and worship God, it always impacts me. It always changes me massively, right? I can be down. I can be struggling. I can be happy, whatever. But when I go in and spend time with God, always I'm completely changed. Does it make sense, eh? So where I want to go, thanks for like the two people that went, yeah. Where I want to go is that legit? Is it okay to do that? Because you're kind of worshipping God with ulterior motives, that you want some bounce back blessing for yourself. I'm going to bless God, but I really want a blessing for me. So let me kind of illustrate it, because I'm getting lots of weird looks from y'all. So Josephine, my amazing wife, we live in Mangatauturi, so I don't know, miles that way. We're moving in the second half of this year. We just can't wait. I'm so sick of driving in glorious kirikiri rover traffic. So imagine I'm driving home from work and I go to the Mill Street Pack and Save, get some flowers for my wife because I love her. Although Jace doesn't like me bringing her flowers, it's kind of weird. So anyway, another whole story. But for the illustration, she loves flowers. So go home with the flowers, give it to Jace, and she's like, oh, Craig, you're so amazing. You love me. Thanks for the flowers. But there's an ulterior motive, right? Because, and finish the phrase, happy wife.
Happy wife.
happy life, right? So I know if I get Jo's flowers, she's going to be like, oh, and she'll be, I'm doing it because I love her. She'll be pumped. But at the same time, then, you know, it's going to be happy at the house and, yeah, it's awesome and awesome. So a little bit of an ulterior motive. Is that evil? No, it's kind of two birds, one stone, blessing, blessing, I don't know. Think about Dave, right? I love Pastor Dave here and work with him. So imagine I go to La Roma, it's a little cafe just up the road that Dave and I just sneak to all the time because they have glorious caffeine. And I'm getting a coffee for myself, and then I think, well, I should get a coffee for Dave because he's awesome. And so I get a coffee for Dave, and I bring it back, and I give it to Dave because I love him. But I also know that a caffeinated Dave is a happy Dave, amen? Right? So there's an ulterior motive. It's like, I've got to work with this crazy guy all day, but I know if he's like a little bit higher on caffeine than normal, it's going to be a more awesome, glorious day. So is it okay for me to bless Joseph knowing I'm receiving blessing? Is it okay for me to bless Dave knowing I'm receiving blessing? And where I want to go in the psalm is it's like, as long as I want them to receive the blessing, it's sweet for me to receive it. If I'm only doing it to receive blessing myself, then that's getting kind of selfish. Does that make sense? So I want to unpack that with God. Is it okay for me to bless God, worship God, praise God, knowing there's going to be massive kickback to me? So that's kind of where we were kind of heading, eh? We're going to jump around in the psalm because the way it's written is kind of funky. So I've just kind of changed it. So hopefully that's all good. If you don't like it, then bad luck because I'm the guy with the microphone and the clicking thing. So I've got like double blessing. Here's the first part. So we're jumping right into verses 6 to 9. Why should we worship God? And I put down this first section is all about creation. I don't know if you noticed it when the ladies read it, but this whole section is about creation. So why should I worship God? Why should we bless God, praise God? Because His creation is unbelievable, and I deliberately chose that word unbelievable, right? And I want you to see why when we look at it. So I want to read it again. Here's verses 6 to 9. This is just wild. And I underlined some phrases, so just look at it. The Lord merely spoke, and the heavens were created. He breathed the word and all the stars were born. He assigned the sea its boundaries and locked the oceans in vast reservoirs. Let the whole earth fear the Lord and let everyone stand in awe of him. Why? Why should we stand in awe of him? For when he spoke, the world began. It appeared at his command. Man, I just love this little section, and you can see so clearly that the author's making a real point of us seeing that God created this just by speaking. You can see that, right? You see it three times. He says it real clearly. He wants us to understand that God created everything there is purely by speaking, right? I haven't asked Elisa's permission, so if I get in trouble for this and I get fired and I'm looking for another job, just remember me, eh? So Elisa's an amazing baker. Who's friends with Elise on Facebook and you see her baking cakes that are just incredible? Yeah, a bunch of people. She's like the most, she comes to church, amazing baker. And she made this dog cake the other day that was just phenomenal. It like literally looked like wool, fur, what do dogs have, hair? I don't know. Anyway, it was just incredible. But Elise, when she bakes a cake, she does not walk into her kitchen and just stand there and go, let there be cake. And instantly, psh, cake, right? It's ridiculous. She, I don't know, you make a cake, kneads it and sieves it and I don't know what you do. Fries it, I don't know, whatever. She makes a cake, bakes it, right? It's a whole bunch of effort for her to make a cake, right? So when we talk about God creating everything from nothing, for most of us, our brain just goes impossible, ridiculous. Does it make sense? Because it's just ludicrous, it's bizarre. So to prove it to you, in case some of you are wearing some skeptical pants this morning, let's do a quick creation, only using our words, exercise, okay? So audience participation time. So everyone put your hands like this, and put your hands like this. Shot team. Yep. And then what we're going to do is we're just going to create something simple just by speaking, right? So nothing tricky. Like God created the whole universe by speaking. He's just like platypus, instant platypus. Heffalump, no, I'm joking. You know, elephant, it's an elephant. Palm tree, instant. You know, he's just like, whoa. So we'll just create something really simple. So let's just create a flea. I mean, seriously, how simple is a flea compared to the universe? So I was thinking about this week, and if this works, we're in huge trouble because we're going to be covered in fleas, we're going to have exterminators, the elders are going to fire me, it's all good. So just on three, just say flea with all of your being. You're trying to create a flea from nothing. So on three, one, two, three, flea. Nah, there's nothing, right? It just feels stupid, right? That's why I'm doing it, because it's like, that is probably the dumbest thing I've ever done in church. But that's the whole point, right? It's like the power of God is unbelievable. That's why I use that that phrase. Why praise God? Because His creation is unbelievable. To walk outside and look at the beauty of God's creation and to just stop and go, what the heck? He really created this from nothing? There was nothing there. There was no space. We often think, oh, maybe God was in space. There's no space. There was no time. There was no matter. There was no matter. There was nothing. And God just spoke and created it. I just love that, eh? I just love that. Look at this cool picture Alex took this week. Wow, man. Too much clicking up here. You can kind of see it. There's actually a fog rainbow. Can you see that light line? Yep. If you see it on the photo, it's actually a fog rainbow. I think, Ross, this is at morning tea, so don't fire him, bro. It's all good. Alex works with Ross. And I was talking to Alex this week, and he was saying, like, he was just on a building site out, I think, Te Kawhata or somewhere, and looked up and saw a rainbow in the fog. I'm like, I don't even know you could have fog rainbows. Has anyone heard of a fog rainbow? No? It's like the wet. You have? Of course you have, Mahalia, the smartest person in New Zealand. And he was like, he just stopped and looked and was just like, wow, this is incredible. The beauty of creation is just phenomenal, right? I just find it amazing, man. I think we have a responsibility for those of us that have created by God to connect with Him in creation. We have a responsibility to set aside time to connect with God in creation. Does that make sense? God creates us in different ways to connect with Him in different ways, right? Some people, man, when you get in creation, the beauty of creation, it might be a park, it might be your backyard, it might be whatever. You just feel God's presence. You feel His closeness. Other people, they're like, ooh, bugs, cold, blah, you know. It's just how we're created differently. For some people, it's the Bible. When they dig into the Bible, it's like, man, that's where I experience God. For some people, they walk into an old church and it's just like, whoa, I just feel the presence of God. With someone else, it's just a real quiet room at their house maybe, and they're just meditating on verses or realities of God. But for a lot of people, a heck of a lot of people, it's creation, right? And I think we have this real responsibility when we realize that, when we understand, man, God wired me, He created me to connect with Him in creation. We have a responsibility to do that. And I say this with boxes of love. You're kind of foolish to not. Does that make sense, eh? If you know that God's created you to connect with Him in creation, and then you just blast through your week all busy and doing stuff and not doing that, then you are missing out on this whole life-changing time that you could have with God. So you know, if you're a creation person, you know as soon as I'm talking, you're like, yeah, that's me, creation, man, that's how I connect. So the thing I want to encourage you to do is to think, man, how different could your week be? How much changed could you be? If each week you just set aside a little bit of time to spend with God in creation. It might be just 5 minutes, right? It might be 10 minutes. It might be sitting in your backyard. It might be on your way to work somewhere, on your way to uni, school, whatever. You just find that one place you just pull over in your car or on your Lime scooter or whatever you're boogieing around on. And say, yeah, every week I'm just going to set aside a little bit of time because that's where I praise God. And what happens when I praise Him? He changes me, right? I go there with the motive to bless and connect with Him. And every time it's like God bounces back, bounces back, bounces back. Tenfold the blessing that I put to Him. And again, there's that danger that we miss out on that. If we know God's created us like that and we allow the busyness of the planet to overwhelm us and we go through another week, we just totally missed out on this whole connection of who we are in our soul. And here in Kirikiriro, it's so easy. There's that many parks and gullies. It's just ridiculous, right? So many beautiful backyards to just pause in for just a few minutes each week and go, God, this is... And He bounces back and He blesses us, right? So cool. Okay. Turn and say to someone, whoa, God's creation rocks. Can you turn to someone and say that? Whoa. As a little pun, did you notice my amazing pun? Rocks, creation. I thought it was good. Okay, so that's the first thing, eh? Why praise God? Because of creation's just unbelievable, right? Here's the second one. This is a bit of a weird one, so I need to unpack this a bit. The second one is verses 10 to 19. Why should we worship God? Because His global plan and His knowledge of us is amazing, right? So why should we worship God? Second thing, because His global plan and His knowledge of us is amazing. Let's read a couple of verses from here. So if you've got your Bible, jump over to Psalm 33. I'm just going to read verses 10 to 12. And it's a bit funky, and I want to unpack it a little bit carefully here. Verse 10 says, "The Lord frustrates the plans of the nations and thwarts all their schemes, but the Lord's plans stand firm forever. His intentions can never be shaken." I really love that, but at the same time, I feel like I struggle with verse 11, and I chucked it on the screen. Verse 11 says, "But the Lord's plans stand firm forever. His intentions can never be shaken." And to be honest, when I was thinking about it this week, I kept thinking, really? I know I believe it, but man, if I look at the planet at the moment, it feels like God's totally out of control. I don't know if you're aware, the rioting in America, I got a lot of good friends in America, the rioting in America is just insane. We got friends in different parts that are still terrified to go out because COVID's still going crazy over there. And now there's all this rioting, so they're doubly terrified to go out. It's like they're in Europe and everywhere. The economy on the planet is just looking so terrifying. In New Zealand, we're just like, where are we going with our... It's real scary. And then as Christians, we're like, no, no, the plans of God are all good. And it's like, are they really? Has he gone to sleep and forgotten about us? But the key to me is verse 12. So let me read. Verse 12 says, "What joy for the nation whose God is the Lord, whose people he has chosen as his inheritance." And to me, this is the one that makes sense, right? Here's that verse 12. And I don't want to get all political and crazy, but what I see that we've done on the planet, but especially here in New Zealand, is we've basically told God to get lost. Does it make sense? We've really told God to get lost. We've kicked God out of school, right? Most schools, you can't pray in school. You can't do Bible in schools. You can do all sorts of other religions. You can't do Christianity in schools. And our government, we've kicked God out of government massively, right? Can't pray. All sorts of things that we used to do to have that Christian atmosphere in government. It's all gone. Laws that were passing left, right, and centre in New Zealand are just totally opposed to the Word of God. And it just feels like, well, it doesn't feel like, we've said to God, get out of our Aotearoa. Get out of here. We don't care about you. We don't want you in here. And what I see God doing is like, all right, God never forces his will on people, right? Never. And so you clearly, I think, see God saying, okay, if you don't want me, then let's see what happens to your will. And you see it in New Zealand, but you see it on a global scale. Nations globally saying to God, get out. We don't want anything to do with you, morally, ethically, even legally. And God says, okay, fine. There's like a real move, I'm sure you've heard, been for a number of years, but really ramping up at the moment to change our national anthem. Because most people in New Zealand don't want to sing God of Nations at thy feet. They don't want to sing that. What rubbish is that? It's just this move to get rid of God. And I just see God saying, okay, fine, scary. Eh? I just find that kind of scary. But then I don't. Because then I go, no, 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 no. Because we still want God to be a real core part of our life and our nation and our being, right? And you see God kind of change in this psalm when he was inspiring the author. And it really changes from that, this nation kind of look down to a lot tighter. I'll read verses 13 down to verse 19. It says, "The Lord looks down from heaven and sees the whole human race. From his throne he observes all who live on earth." You can see it getting more intimate, right? "He made their hearts, so he understands everything they do." And then there's this real cool thing about trust comes in. "The best-equipped army cannot save a king, nor is great strength enough to save a warrior. Don't count on your war horse to give you victory. For all its strength, it cannot save you." And then verse 18 says, "But the Lord watches over those who fear him, those who rely on his unfailing love." Now, I just love that, eh? I love this change that he brings in that, yeah, nations can be falling apart, and we still believe that God's got it globally, and we understand that. But he brings it right down to this intimate connection of God with us, which I just love. To me, it's real similar to this verse, eh? 1 Chronicles 16:9 says something real similar. It says, "The eyes of the Lord search the whole earth in order to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him." And I just feel like, man, at this time, we have to be fully committed to God like never before. It honestly feels like the plan. I was thinking about this morning when I was going over the sermon. It was like 5 o'clock or something stupid. And I was like, man, if you'd said to me 5-6 months ago, man, it feels like the world's spinning out of control, I would have been like, oh, man, it's insane. But like you look at where we are now and it's just a million times worse than it was 5 or 6 months ago. I'm like, what the heck? And I love the end of that, eh? He strengthens those whose hearts are fully committed to him, right? Who are fully committed to him. I'll tell you a quick illustration and then I'll get back to the verses. Who's heard of D.L. Moody? Anyone ever heard of D.L. Moody? Yeah, so he's this big traveling evangelist dude back in the 1800s, right? So middle of the 1800s, just born like 1830-something and died in the 1880s. And he was not the smartest guy, not the sharpest tool in the shed, right? So he grew up, he didn't speak very well, he dropped out of school when he was 10, which is kind of crazy. Then ended up working as a shoe salesman in Chicago. Pretty budget dude, not doing much. People said when he spoke, he was kind of hard to understand because he didn't put his words together right because he dropped out of school real early. But when he was 17, shoe salesman, he decided to fully commit himself to God. And he made this real promise that from now on, whatever he read in the Bible, whatever God told him, he was going to do, no questions asked. And a lot of us do that, but we kind of do this, right? We kind of go, yeah, I totally trust God. And this is what the psalmist is saying there. But at the same time, I trust in armies and horses, is what they say. But we go, no. But I'm also trusting in other stuff. And I'll come back to that. But what D.L. Moody decided is that, no, he's done with that. He's just fully trusting in God, never trusting in this. And then God just empowers him like crazy. And he just becomes this unbelievable freak of communication, right? I was reading up some stats this week, and for about over 2 decades, he was popping backwards and forwards as he got a bit older between America and Europe. And they said he preached to more than 100 million people in like 20 years. Now, even now to do that is pretty amazing, but you can cheat because you can do it online. So this is face-to-face in these giant tent meetings and stuff, 100 million people. And he just kept saying, I'm no one special, man. And again, he would start preaching at these things and heaps of people would get up to walk out because he was just such a bad communicator. But then the power of God, and people would just come back in and get saved. It's crazy. He coordinated all these different gatherings to happen at the same time. So they wasn't like now where he'd preach to a camera and it would be simulcast all these different things. He had all these different preachers all over the place in America. And they said in one day he preached with these other people to 130,000 people in one day. And he kept saying, look, I'm no one special. I'm just this regular kind of guy. And I just find this amazing, eh? I was listening to a podcast this week that Dave and I are kind of addicted to, and some of you have heard of it, called This Cultural Moment. And one of the things they were talking about in there, and I just see it coming out in the psalm, is the danger for a lot of Christians is this, right? Like I've been saying, we have a foot in the God camp, the Jesus camp. Yeah, I trust God. I need God in my life. That's my security. But at the same time, I really do have a foot in the world. And I really am finding my security, my strength, my joy, my everything there. Now, I'm not saying it's bad to find joy. It's not bad to go out and have a good steak dinner. That's not evil. But it's where is my security really? Where am I really looking for my security? And a lot of Christians, we do both, right? Yeah, trusting God. But yeah, I'm finding security, fullness of life in the world. And what these guys were saying in the podcast is where the world's going at the moment with ethics and morals and society just spreading further and further apart, is that Christians end up doing this. And they talked about people are going to end up doing spiritual splits. I got tight pants, so I can't go any further, right? I could go right down, but it's the pants, right? And they were just saying, man, this is going to be a real interesting time the next year or two for Christians, where as society just pulls further and further apart from Christian morals, we're not going to be able to do, I trust in God for my security and I trust here. We're really going to have to make a call. And I was like, man, that's really interesting. When you read this and you go, oh, what kind of idiot would trust in a horse, would trust in an army, right? When we compare it with trusting in God, and it's like the Lord merely spoke, right? He breathed the word and the stars are born. But the crazy thing is we do it all the time, right? Heaps of Christians do it all the time. We go to church, we go to life group. What idiot would find security in the world? But then if we could just get that bigger house, if we could just get that better car, if we could just get that, if we could just get this, that would set us up, right? Where are your feet, right? Where are your feet? Where are you really finding that security, yeah? I love this little quote from D.L. Moody. How good's that beard? Seriously, let's just pause. Yeah, thank you, Simon, and just glory. That's legit. I'm getting there, but a few more years. I love this quote. If this world is going to be reached, I'm convinced that it must be done by men and women of average talent. Because he kept saying, I'm no one smart. And you read that and you're like, yeah, that's the core of this psalm, right? It's not trusting in cool things. It's just knowing that God's got me. It's not God looking for the smartest, sharpest, amazingest person. He's just looking for people that are like, yeah, I need you to use me, God. It's not their strength and their wisdom and their intelligence. It's God working through them, working in them. Hey, I love that. Okay, I want to go back to the beginning of the psalm, because we looked at two whys. Why should I praise God? One, because of creation. It's unbelievable. And then the second one, why should I praise God? And that's because he's got me, right? He's really got me. Even though the world's spinning and going crazy, he's really got me. And then these are the last, whoosh, Jordan saved me, bro. Thanks, man. The first verses, sorry. So we're kind of back to the beginning, right? And because now it says a bit of a how. So let the godly sing for joy to the Lord. It's fitting for the pure to praise him. Praise the Lord with melodies on the lyre. I don't even know what a lyre is. I'm guessing it's a strummy thing. Anyone? Lyre? Yeah, shot team. Make music for him on the 10-stringed harp. Sing a new song of praise to him. Play skillfully on the harp and sing with joy. I just really love this practical challenge, I guess. Like I said at the beginning, some of us are created creation. We get in creation and we just feel the presence of God. A lot of people are like that, right? And a lot of people are like this. A lot of people, when they engage in sung worship, it's just like, man, something within me just ignites and connects with God, right? I checked this week for thinking about this. I have one playlist, Christian playlist, that has 88 songs in it. It has 8.5 hours of worship, right? How spiritual am I? I'm amazing. I judge all of you who don't have at least 88 songs in the one Christian playlist. No, I'm joking. I can sing along with Hillsong, Bethel, Jesus Culture, Elevation, blah, 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 right? It's awesome, and I just love it. And again, when I go to that sung worship to praise God, every time he's just like, bounce back, and the blessing comes back, and I'm just like, oh, I'm changed, right? But I love this. Look at verse 3. I found this real challenging this week. Sing a new song of praise to him. Sing a new song of praise to him. For those of you that are sung worship people, that really connect with God through sung worship, and why don't you start writing a song to God? And I know for some of you, you're like, are you insane, bro? That's just madness. And it's like, no, it's not, actually. Hillsong, Bethel, whoever, they can't praise God from exactly where you are at this time in your life, right? They can write good stuff. But only you can praise God. Only you can call out to God in anguish and frustration and hurt and brokenness or in joy and excitement from where you are. You're the only one who can do that. So one of the things I'd really encourage you to do, like I said, the creation people, maybe just set aside 5-10 minutes a week, find that cool place to hang out with Jesus. Maybe if you're a real sung worship person, why don't you set aside 5, 10, 15, I don't know, minutes a week to start trying to write some songs to God. It's just a poem, right? It's not rocket science. It doesn't have to rhyme. You're not going to have to show it to anyone. You know, there's no show and tell later on, or come and sing it in front of the church or anything. Man, it's just between you and Jesus. I really encourage you to do it, eh? I know it can feel weird, but just get an old journal somewhere. Find somewhere cool to sit in your house, maybe light a candle, it can make it feel even more amazing, and just sit and go, all right, God, this is going to be wild, but let me try and express my feelings to you. That's me. Because you know when you sing Hillsong, it just blows your mind. When you sing along with Jesus Culture, you're like, but what about your soul? And what's God going to reveal to you and you through you as you sit down and go, all right, Jesus, speak through me to me, you know? I love that, eh? I love that. Let me finish with this little quote by Dale Moody. I love this. God doesn't expect the impossible from us. He wants us to expect the impossible from him. I love that, eh? I know some of you, when I was talking about the creation, you're just like, yeah, shot, bro. You don't have any idea of my week. I got this happening and that and crazy. If you saw my schedule, it's filled with you'd say, it's impossible for me to set aside that time. And I go, yeah, that's what God's all about. That's what he's all about. He loves doing the impossible. So don't discount it, right? Spend time thinking, okay, how can I set aside some time in creation? Same thing with the writing song thing. Some of you are like, ooh, actually, that could be cool. Oh, but man, this week I've got... It's like, no, that's what God's all about. God loves that. This looks impossible to me, eh? I love that. Let me pray, and then we're going to wrap up and get out of here. Let me pray for us, eh? Yeah, kia ora atua. Thank you for your unfailing love for us. I thank you for your desire always. I love that kind of bounce back praise, you know. We never go into praising you, worshipping you, connecting with you, and then leaving like, eh, God was away. He didn't show up. We always go away changed and closer to you, and the planet just makes more sense. And it's just good, God. I just pray for people right now that are like, man, I would love to, but my life's crazy, or but I don't know if I'm going to be able to make time. I just pray that you would be that God who loves to do the impossible in us. I know that when we meet with you, you'll change us. You always do. So I don't need to pray that you will do that, but I pray that you'll give people the wisdom, the boldness, the intentionality to set aside some time this week to just be with you in creation and just sit. To start maybe writing a song of praise and worship to you that comes from their soul, God. Yeah. Yeah, thanks for speaking to us through the psalm. It's cool. Yeah, we need to hear you. Thanks for bringing us back together, God. It's awesome. Yeah. Ki te ingoa o te mātua, o te tamaiti, ko te wairua tapu. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hey, let's all stand for a minute. I'm going to read some verses, but just a couple of things before we head out. So it's good for you to stand, because then you're like, whoa, what's happening? Who am I? Where am I? A couple of things. So Raywin, who has a giant pastoral care heart, brain, whatever you want to say, had a couple of brilliant ideas. So one, we can't hang around for too long because there's more people coming in, so we're going to like actually kick you out of church soon. What is that evilness? And so Raymond was like, man, as you leave, why don't you try and grab some people and be like, hey, why don't we go to a cafe down the road, or why don't you grab a roast chicken and we'll grab buns and come to a house? So we can't hang out here, but maybe you could hang out in your whare or in some cool cafe or somewhere. So maybe think about that, eh? I mean, people are terrifying, so you choose wisely because you don't want to let certain people into your house. The other thing that Raymond wanted us to remind you is that we really do care about you. So we keep just chatting to people in the church and in the community that are really struggling as they come out of lockdown. So if that's you, there really are a lot of people here that love you, right? I know that's weird for some of you, but we actually do. We pray for you and all that kind of Jesus stuff. So if you're struggling, or if you know someone who's struggling, we would love to journey that with you, whether it just means meeting up to pray, whether it means catching up for a coffee, whatever. So don't kind of struggle alone, right? Hey, so let me read the last few verses of this psalm. This is the last bit, right, of Psalm 33. I just love this, and I want to just read this as kind of our prayer as we head out. We put our hope in the Lord. He is our help and our shield. In him our hearts rejoice, for we trust in his holy name. And I love this last bit. Let your unfailing love surround us, Lord, for our hope is in you alone. Man, my prayer for you this week is that you'll just experience that unfailing love of the Lord. That unfailing love. He's got you. He loves you. Whether you realize it or not, he's got you. He's with you. The planet's spinning out of control faster than ever. But he's got you. He loves you. He cares for you, eh? So make that time to connect with him. Cool. May the Lord bless you and keep you this week. Have an awesome week, eh? So we're going to just hang out in here. We just don't want to go through there and infect those people that are coming in right now. So we're going to hang out in here, and then we're going to exit through that door. And I don't know, what have we got, like 20 minutes, 30 minutes? So cool. Good to see you. Kakitea anō.